Ups.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow me, or thorns compose so rich a crown? His dying crimson like a robe spreads o'er His body on the tree. Then am I dead to all the glow, and all the globe is dead to were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so demands my soul, my life, my all. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in His promises grand. Sing and you'll and be happy to be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust in Him who leadeth the way. You. He is will your keep your soul. Let the world know where you belong. Be faithful. Look to Jesus and pray. Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and you'll be happy today. Be happy, press on to the goal. Trust in Him who leadeth the way. He is will keep your soul. Let the world know where you belong. Be faithful, look to Jesus and pray. And pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust Him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and you'll be happy today. Be happy, press
along to the goal. Trust in him who leadeth
the way. He is
keeping your soul. Keep your soul.
Let the world know where you belong.
Be faithful. Look to Jesus and pray. And pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed, guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Amen. And one more, let's see. One more, gotta do this one.
We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rest. ask you, hopeless sinners, not a soul must e'er be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. All right, everybody. Good mid-morning, late morning, afternoon, whatever you want to call it. And wow, somebody came on and tried to spam us already. Well, I'm going to get this truth out as long as I can. And if my broadcast doesn't make it for some reason, well, then I will switch over to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, which is also live on oldpaths.baptistchurch.org. When I go live, the live stream player comes up and I will broadcast it there right away. So if YouTube does that, they haven't stopped me. YouTube hasn't hurt me as bad as they think. When I go over to Sermon Audio, my videos are in the top 20 almost every time I do one over there. They're in the top 20. Let's see here. Turn up the volume. All right, let's see. All right, well, I got it up there. That should be fine now. Let's see. Am I coming in loud enough now? Hopefully I am. Well, we're going to talk about the public school system today. And I'll tell you, this public school system is absolutely wicked as hell. And what we are seeing now is the continuation of what Alfred Kinsey and his demonic work started years ago. Chris Pinto did an excellent documentary on Alfred Kinsey and Kinseyism. I do not recommend that you watch that with children. I will be G-rating every, and I mean G-rating as in Bible rating. I should say B-rating. Let me change that. Not G-rating, but B rating. I will be Bible rating what I show you today. That's a better way, because G rating is from the pits of hell. Disney G rated their stuff and it's garbage from hell. I will B rate it, Bible rate it as best as I can, so as not to hurt any of the young people that tune into this broadcast with their families and listen. Okay, so I'm going to do the best I can, and I know that I'm going to be censored. I'm already being censored right now. My people are dropping like flies on here right now as we speak. Okay, but whatever. That's the way it goes in YouTube land. It always goes that way. But I'm going to show you something that I believe is absolutely sick and disgusting, and thankfully, Patsy brought this to my attention and sent it to me and yesterday, and I appreciate her sending this to me because it really woke me up to really think. You know, here's the thing. When we go out into the world and we preach the gospel out there in the world, we are facing children and people that have been indoctrinated into this evil. They've been indoctrinated into it. So this is what we are facing when we go out. See, some of you might live in a bubble and you don't see these things as much in person as we do. But we see it. We see it every day. When we go out, we witness it. And how their minds are totally taken. Now, I'm going to show you this first in a second. Then we'll get to it. But before I do that, let me just welcome everybody that's on here. Jacob is first. Jacob, fresh off a vacation, back from eating pounds and pounds of chili. What is it called? Cincinnati chili. And boy, did he pound it down. He told me he, like, lived there. He just got a room in the back, and they just opened his mouth, and he just dumped ladles full of chili in his mouth while he was there. That's just down his throat. Rachel Marshall, Cindy Nelson, A.D. Marshall with the blue wrench. Joe McDonald had a farm. Elijah Morgan trucking through Arizona. That was weird. My backpack just shifted over there. That was kind of weird. Anyway. Steven. Betty. Joey. Brother Joshua with the blue wrench. Had to get rid of some perverts already. Mary, Teresa, Terry Carter, my wife, Hannah, Sonia Tardy, who was late, not just kidding, Mary Wiebe. Well, Mary, where have you been? I haven't seen you for a while. Where have you been hiding? How's the family doing? Let's see. Texas Cindy, not to be confused with Cindy Nelson or any other Cindy that comes on here, but Texas Cindy. Carrie, Jesus is Lord. Some weird pervert that got kicked off. All right. Chain break. Where have you been? You're probably wondering where I've been. Hope you're doing well and your family is doing well. Becca and Sumo. Yeah, that's right. Skyline chili. But it is Cincinnati chili. Sue Elias, how are you? All right, so... Now, you're probably not going to believe this. Good to hear, Mary. Good to hear you're doing fine. You are probably not going to believe this. Okay? And Patsy is here but couldn't sign in. But she is here, listening as well. Now, you're probably not going to believe this, but I want to remind you of something from years ago.
They're making our food out of people. Next thing, they'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You got to tell them. You got to tell them.
Promise, Tiger. I promise. I'll tell the exchange.
You tell everybody. Listen to me, Hatcher. You got to tell them. Silent Green is people! We've got to stop them somehow!
Okay, there you go. Soylent Green is people. Remember that? I'll never forget that. Soylent Green is people. Well, that just sounds dumb, doesn't it? That couldn't be. I mean, Hollywood didn't have any predictive programming. Satan didn't. You know? Did he? Well, yes, he did, actually. Yes, he did. Now, this is supposed to be... Whoops. Didn't make it over there. Let's see. Let's try that again. There we go. Now we made it over there. This is not the right one. Let me see. Where did that go? Here it is. This is what I was looking for right here. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman. And just when you thought the government indoctrination centers could not possibly sink any lower, I mean, it's not enough that they're teaching our kids to hate God, to hate their parents, to hate their families, to hate their country. Now they're teaching them the wonders of cannibalism. And you think I'm kidding. You think I'm just being facetious. I'm not. We have a very...
By the way, the Bible talks about that cannibalism, talks about that spirit, right, that is a part of satanic rituals, Satanism, those things, right? The Bible warns us about them, and it's closely linked to that LGBTQ spirit. It's closely linked to the bestiality. It's closely linked to the homosexuality in the Bible, wizardry, okay, sorcery. All these things which the heathens did that were an abomination, right? Leviticus chapter 18, different chapters of the scriptures talk about this. Why are they teaching everything void? They kicked God out, right? Romans 1, that blueprint, right? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, right? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. And because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. These are vain, wicked imaginations.
A special guest with us to talk about this scandal happened in a school in Georgia, and she's going to break it down for us, but it is so sick. So today we have with us Rhonda Thomas, very special guest. She's become a friend of mine. She's the founder and president of Truth in Education. She's been working very closely with legislators in Georgia dealing with education, this crazy racist trash, also known as critical race theory. She's been doing this for decades in Georgia, working through the legislature, lobbying, trying to get good things passed and bad things stopped. She's also a member of the Protect Child Health Coalition. They're having a big conference up in Ohio next weekend. So Rhonda and I will both be there. But so much going on, guys. And so I want to introduce you to Rhonda. She's actually a returning guest. But Rhonda, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And you know, we had gotten some emails about this as well. But tell us what happened in this school in Georgia with this grotesque lesson.
Well, Alex, I do want to give credit to Protect Student Health Georgia because they were the ones that received this first and shared it with us. So I want to make sure that. But very excited that they shared it with us, Truth in Education. But this was actually supposed to be satire. Can you imagine using cannibalism as satire?
Okay, now stop. Because here's something that, and he's going to talk about this, but I want to talk about this. I've been harping on this for many years. Satan used television to make you laugh at homosexuality back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They started being just kind of like funny little fruits and things like that, and to get you to laugh at it. They had shows like, I'll show you one here. There were shows like Three's Company, right? Three's Company was a show that they used predictive programming on. That guy pretended to be a homosexual that was living with two women so he could get cheaper rent, but he really wasn't a homosexual. But they got that in your mind. It's an emotional teaching that they get in your mind, and they use it to dumb you down and make you accept things through laughter and humor. Okay? That was one of them. Another one. Let's see. Oh, man. What was that? Oh, I think I remember it. Now it was called, let's see. There it is, right there. Tom Hanks did this one. Here it was, Bosom Buddies, right? This was Bosom Buddies. And these they cross-dressed because I think it was they wanted to live in this place cheaper and they wanted to get this place lived. They weren't really transgenders or anything like that. They were dressing up as women so they could get in this place. And they got that idea to go into your head to get you to laugh, right? To get you to mock it and to think no big deal about it, right? So what they did was they got you to do that through laughter, and they set you up to laugh about sin. So then it would become more acceptable, right? It becomes more acceptable.
For high school students. So there's a school, Richmond Hill High School, in Georgia. They wanted these students to create a business model that basically raising and eating human babies to solve the world hunger problem.
Okay, so basically a teacher set up a project in the Georgia school system. Wicked imaginations to eat babies, right? To eat babies and to use that to solve world hunger. They put this in the children's minds and told them to think on these things. To think on those things and put that in their mind. And to see, the Bible says you and I are not supposed to imagine evil things. We're not supposed to sit and think about that. They're using their imaginations. The Bible talks about imaginations in the scriptures. Imagination is a gift from God when it's used properly. When it's not, with the fall of man, it's been used wickedly. Imagination is 20 times in the King James Bible. The Bible talks about their imaginations. We're to cast down imaginations in every high thing. Right? We're not to have vain imaginations. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations, the Bible says. God says, and ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart. What they imagined, what did God, when the Lord punished the earth, what happened? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
And so they actually had to come up with a plan for mass production, distribution, and target market. So this came to light because some of the students got very upset, and so a parent actually submitted this. But this was being taught as satire again in an English class. This was an example. So because the students were so upset, we found out about it, but we really want to make sure that parents are aware that this is trying to normalize cannibalism. We're seeing it in Hollywood, right, with the Katy Perry and the Netflix movie they did with Madonna and Drew Barrymore. So there's a lot going on. But
see, that's what they do. They start normalizing things through Hollywood, just like back the sexual revolution back in the 60s. As time moved forward, they were normalizing wickedness and lewdness. And Alfred Kinsey was a huge part. If you have not watched Chris Pinto's documentary on Alfred Kinsey, don't watch it with children. Watch it with your parents. Or I mean, parents, watch it together. Don't watch it with the children around, because it's too lewd if you're protecting your children from it's not lewd. Like, Chris isn't lewd, but he's talking about very dark things. But he's explaining to you how things got the way that it did. Okay, so it's not bad. It's just, I wouldn't, that's why I'm B-rating, I'm Bible-rating things here as best I can. Now, I'm not going to be perfect at it because it's hard when you're dealing with this stuff. But I want you to understand this attack. You need to understand it. You certainly do.
But they actually went through step by step. Let me tell you what they had. This is not part of the curriculum. We believe a teacher actually brought this in. But one of the first things that they start with is, when you first give us your child that you unfortunately cannot keep, we will take them from you. Do not be worried. Your baby is in good hands. To first care for your child, we will give them a vaccine. Keep them safe from the, for some reason, they put panorama. After that, they usually get very tired from the shot. They will get sick and will not wake up. Can you believe this?
I mean, this literally makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, not literally, but you know what I mean. It makes me want to vomit, though. If I could vomit, I would vomit. It's disgusting. It just grieves the soul. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, it's just heartbreaking too.
So when this happens, we have a small funeral. And after that, we, in capital letters, we feast.
Oh. Listen to me. For the Christian, and lost people, obviously, but for the Christian, if you joke around about grievously wicked sins continually, you may just end up committing them. You know, the devil, it has the uncanny ability to put temptations in our way, to put struggles in our way, to put different things in our way, to allow things to happen, to tempt us and to try us. I'm not saying cannibalism. I'm just speaking generally, okay? I just want you to understand that don't play games with sin. Sin's not funny. God doesn't laugh at sin. God hates sin. And this is what they're teaching. Now listen, these are children that are not saved. These are children that are growing up in a sick, disgusting, perverted world. It's frightening. You want to know, you know, we always talk about the zombies. Okay, these are the zombies. The zombie apocalypse is teaching these children to have no natural affection. Children cannot discern things. We teach them discernment.
Since the child has passed, we don't need to take up any more land for cemeteries, so we slap them on the grill and cook their flesh and make delicious hamburgers. They taste just like the real thing.
Oh. You think about the minds of these children for a second. Think about their minds. Think about what they're harping on. Think about what's going through. Their shock treatment. Their shock teachings of emotional teachings, the way they are trying to shake their any foundation that they have up. So then you can rebuild them after you tear down all their foundations. You rebuild you put another brick in the wall. You rebuild them into what you want them to be. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's what they're doing. I'm telling you, it's so wicked.
Oh my gosh. Then they go into their business plan of mass production. For mass production.
I mean, think about this. These children are minutely thinking about how they would harvest children, babies. Let me just put some context, a little more context to it. Let's see. Let me find something here. Give me a second. I want you to think about this. Let's see here. Give me a second. Now, let me go to here. So, this is my son 5 months ago, maybe 6 months ago. I want to give you a context. They're laughing, joking, planning, thinking about harvesting babies. That's the context. Do you understand that? But it's just joking. It's just laughing. You know, I don't let my kids joke about evil things. Do you? Do you let your children? Do you let your children joke about murdering their family or killing or doing things like that? No. You stop it right away. You say, son, daughter, that's nothing to joke about. We don't do that. We don't say when we're angry or something. You know how kids will say, oh, I just want to kill you or something like that. Nope, you don't talk like that. You don't talk like that.
We would encourage the U.S. government to create a business negotiation with China about trying to reduce their population by donating children to our government. We also take all children from organizations, including foster care. They are just taking this to the extreme. And it says the production is once they receive these babies, Alex, the meat is cured and dried, similar to that of beef jerky, so that it doesn't spoil and is preserved longer. And then they refer to having a Dahmer's mini camp. You are what you eat. And the target market for this is low income, poverty areas, and countries. So once again, we are going after areas in our country. We know that Planned Parenthood, right, has always gone after the Black population.
Look, this is why I hate the organization Planned Parenthood. One of the reasons, right? They're a bunch of murderers. They're a bunch of baby murderers. That's what they are. And I've had them come after me. They tried to subpoena our records and come after us when we preached outside of there. They tried to subpoena our records and come after us. They tried to get all of our records and emails and everything else. You know what I told them? You'll fight me all the way. I will fight you all the way. You're not getting anything from me. Nothing. I will give you nothing. Nothing. Well, they're already harvesting babies. This is just, I mean, this is just they're telling you.
And so to me, this feeds right into that. They're normalizing again cannibalization. And this book, My Friend Dahmer, is
okay. So check this out. This is another level of normalization, okay? Let me find, here it is right here. This is the book right here, okay? This book, My Friend Dahmer. This was written. This was a kid that went to school, a man that went to school with Jeffrey Dahmer. Okay? And he writes about him, and he's, look at what they're doing. They're normalizing it. They're making it look normal. The cannibalism, by the way, the homosexuality, because Dahmer was a homosexual. He was a murdering, cannibalistic, homosexual. Why does that all go together? Because that's the degradation. That's the spirit that's behind it. It's the same spirit. Do you understand? It's the same exact spirit. That's what it is. That is the same exact spirit. Demonic to the core. Demonic to the core. That's who these people are. This man, My Friend Dahmer, let me show you what that is exactly. It was a movie and a book. Here's the film, My Friend Dahmer. In 1974, Jeffrey Dahmer was a high school freshman living in Bath. I'm not going to read all this to you because what they're trying to do is get you into the mind of a serial killer, right? Get you into the mind of a pervert, normalize that perverted lifestyle, right? Normalize that, right? Would you people please listen to me for a second and be really careful? Would you please be careful with watching all this in the mind of a serial killer stuff and in the mind of these wicked people? And studying all these serial killers and watching all these documentaries about all that. Would you please not do that? Don't put your mind in darkness like that and sit there and veg out on that stuff. You want to know what's in the mind of a serial killer? Look in the scriptures. You want to know what's in the mind of those wicked people? Look in the Bible like that. Don't study every in and out of these people. Please. Well, what they do is they get you to like get a soap opera attraction to these people and normalize them. And these are people that are vile and wicked and devil possessed. So be careful. Don't fill your head and your heart up with that stuff. Stop doing that. Some of you people like to watch those dark things. And in their documentaries and all, don't get too deep into it. That's why I'm careful about what Chris Pinto did there. He just covers what happened, but he moves on. He doesn't get into the psychology of it. Man, you want to be up all night and have anxiety and all that stuff? Stop doing that. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that. It's not good for your spirit. I'm very careful about a lot of stuff that I filter through that I see. I'm careful about what I bring to you and careful about what I only go so far in some of this and I won't even view it. I'm like, nah, it just makes me sick. We got to be simple concerning evil. They're trying to invoke this sympathy on you. So you'll enter into what this serial killer is doing. No. And look what they did with this eating babies thing. Well, there's a need. People are starving. It's so wicked. I'm telling you, folks, it's so wicked. And this Jeffrey Dahmer, my friend Dahmer, what is that? It's making you sympathetic to Jeffrey Dahmer. This makes me mad enough to spit nails. I'm telling you, the people that are behind this, the devils, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devils are behind this. The devil is behind this, trying to convince people, trying to use this to program people. You have no business reading these books like that. No business. No business sympathizing with these things and getting your mind into these things. No business. You be careful. You don't fill your heart with darkness like that. Man, I'll tell you what, you want to mess your mind up bad. You want to mess your spirit up bad, you go ahead and do that. I'm talking to Christians right now. I'm talking to you. You be careful about watching this stuff, about filling your heart up. It's not good for your spirit. It's not good to look into the eyes of evil all the time. It's not good. It's not good to look deep into the eyes of evil. Come on now, be careful, people.
Graphic novel, which we're seeing more.
By the way, this ticks me off even more. They put this My Friend Dahmer into a comic book format. Do you see what they're doing? You see what they're doing? Uh-huh. Yeah, you guessed it. Wicked as hell. I mean, make you sick to your stomach. Make you sick to your stomach. This is what they're teaching people. Cannibalism. Normalizing it.
More of that in our schools. This, as they referred to in this mass production and business plan, this can be accessed through our children's database in their media centers that are filtered. But they can get into EBSCO, and I think we've talked about this before, and they can get this book, My Friend Dahmer.
So at school, your children, if they went to public school, can get access to this book through EBSCO. They can get access to it. Right? And your children of public school can access pornography. I'll show you another video if I get time. That they can actually access pornography through their public school. Right at school. In their MRC, they can access pornography legally right there. But not a Bible. They're not supposed to read the Bible.
This is an award-winning book. Can you believe this? For our children. They're actually making a movie out of it. So our schools are targeting our children. And this goes back to, which I know you're really familiar with, social emotional learning. This is shocking their value system.
Right. Social emotional learning. To shock their value system. To put such grotesque things before their mind that they don't know good from evil. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. Right? To shock them. When you do that to young people, especially, and you teach them evil, they grow up evil. And they have no boundaries.
Shocking their emotions to be able to break them down and make this normal. This Dahmer book is a very creepy book. If you think about what he did and the lives that he affected, and now we're bringing this into our school system.
Yeah. Oh, it's so grotesque, Rhonda. And imagine the kind of reprobate mind that would come up with this and argue it was humorous. So I've actually got a photo that was sent to us. It says, Plan B, we got you covered. They got a little tagline for their monstrous baby eating business. It says, you make them, we bake them. Okay, folks, this is the kind of depraved mind. This is the kind of depraved thing that is going on in our schools. And for those who just think this is harmless fun, recognize also that this is how homosexuality was normalized and eventually foisted on America. It started off just, you know, throwing it out there like it's fun, like it's cute, putting it in your face. And, you know, back in the 1990s, people don't realize, I think a lot of it is the young people, sodomy was still a crime across virtually the entire United States. And yet in the schools, starting in the early 1990s, the children were bombarded with LGBT propaganda, preparing them. In fact, one of the documentaries they used to show these children featured an LGBT activist teacher talking about how, hey, let's be pretend judges, children, and let's think about what we do about these mean old laws banning homosexuals from getting married. So folks, there's a method to the madness here. We also know that in California, the governor just signed over the last week a bill mandating this ethnic studies model curriculum. For those who haven't followed our coverage of that, this insane curriculum requires elementary school children to chant to the Aztec demonic deities of cannibalism and war and human sacrifice.
See, when you kick God out, every other deity is invited. False deity. Every other devil is invited. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened, right? What happened? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the nature of God into a corruptible thing, right? A four-footed beast and other things the Bible talks about. So that's what they did with this, right? That's what my friend Dahmer is about. That's what it's teaching. That's what these kids are being inundated with.
So guys, the level of depravity that is invading our public schools, and as you see, it's even in Georgia, is just absolutely off the charts. Rhonda, what are you hearing from parents? I actually got an email from Marsha Metzger about this issue as well. She sent me some of these screenshots as well. So I know the word is spreading very quickly in Georgia. Yes. You've made some phone calls to some of the school officials involved. What's going on? I mean, is this person going to be fired? Are we going to have some kind of change, or what's going to go on here?
We're trying to organize a rally at the school, Alex, and bring more attention to this, because this needs to stop right here. We don't know what other schools this has been introduced in. So we need to make a really big, bring a lot of attention to this, because we don't want this to go further. We need parents to understand how, like you said, depraved our schools are becoming. This is one of the worst things I think I've seen.
Now, my answer is leave them. Leave those public schools, walk away from them, boycott them completely, change your lifestyle around, if it's possible, where mom can stay home with the kids and school their children. That's what you do. And through your churches, have homeschool co-ops where the children can get together. And I mean, like our church, we have 35 children. They're always able to get together and do things and all that kind of stuff. So that's not a problem for us. But you know, get your children out of those schools. But you need to also understand that even if you do that, there's still the war that's going on for the children of America.
But I'm not shocked, because when you think about what's in our schools, the mindfulness, this is satanic. This is satanic. And so we have got to get this out of our schools. The parents are very upset. There's been a lot of feedback on all of this. Parents wanting to know what to do, what can we do, because they don't want this coming to their schools.
Yeah.
So this teacher needs to be held accountable.
Yeah. And you know, what you said is just, it's so striking and it's so sad that you're not even shocked. And I wasn't either. You know, when I got this email a few years ago, I might've been shocked, but today, you know, it'd be hard to shock me anymore with what's going on in the schools. And so I understand you even confirmed with some of the school officials that the leadership there is aware of this. Supposedly they're investigating, and who knows what else. I guess a lot of parents are upset. But folks, let me think about this. OK, and you know, if this is happening in conservative Georgia, just imagine what's going on in Illinois and New York and California. I mean, they're at the point now where they're normalizing pedophilia as just another sexual orientation. We've got them on video talking the assistant superintendent saying, oh, well, we got to teach them pedophilia. It's just a sexual orientation that's existed throughout history. Right? I mean, this stuff is bonkers, guys. And you know, we all recognize that it's crazy. But what happens is, you know, you normalize it in one generation. And as the older generations die off and the younger generations take over, this becomes just kind of normal. Rhonda, in the last few minutes that we have left, what advice do you have for...
So think about it this way, all right? Think about it this way. They want to add the P to the end of LGBTQ. What is that? Pedophilia. Yeah. They want to label that as another preference. It's not a preference. It's sin. And it's vile. And God hates it. He hates it. He absolutely hates it. Now, we're going to talk about a man named Alfred Kinsey a little bit, and I'm going to be very discreet how I talk about him, because he was a disgusting man that is burning in hell right now, burning hot in hell right now, a wicked, vile, devil-possessed, nasty man.
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here with Conversations That Matter at The New American. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a very special guest today. I met him through some work we were doing in Illinois on getting the children out of the public schools, reaching out to pastors, and he was up there and very interested. And so we connected that way. And I found out he's just doing amazing work. His name is David Lowry. He is the new co-pastor of a church with the Reverend Al Sampson, the only, as I understand, minister that was ever ordained by the Reverend Martin Luther King.
Now, none of this is an endorsement of any of these people's credentials or anything like that. What it is doing is they're just going to tell you plainly what's going on, and I'm glad they're out there fighting evil. You know, I don't necessarily agree with any of these people 100% at all, but what they are doing is telling the truth about what's happening out there.
And so one of the things that he's doing is fighting the sex ed madness going on in Illinois. He's also got a wonderful organization focused on the family. David, thank you so much for being with us. And tell us about what you're doing, first of all, on the family front. I know family has been a passion of yours for a long time. You've been involved in this ministry for a long time. Tell us what you're doing in the realm of family, why you're doing it, why you think this is so important.
Well, it's important because the family structure has been under attack. Marriage between a man and a woman, which God created, when Barack Obama created that law that said that man and man can marry, it sort of took a bad turn because the homosexuals from that point started to implement other laws that benefited them, and it came against God's people. It came against what he put out there, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and so it spilled over into the schools, and about 3 years ago, I got involved with a family who came to me and asked me for help, and since then, we've been sounding the alarm about this distributive, this comprehensive education, which is basically teaching children to be homosexuals, pedophiles, and transgenders. And so once we got involved, we started to work with other people to be able to see why the legislators even voted for something like this. Because when we saw the literature, it's basically porno being taught to kindergartners and grades all the way up into the 12th. And so we've been in this fight, and we're going to make sure that the family stay intact. And what God meant for marriage between a man and a woman, we're going to continue to fight to make that happen and do what's necessary to remove this law off the books, because they're after our children. And I just think that that's something that's appalling to me. As you know, Christ said that those who would harm one of the little ones, it would be better for them to have a milestone around their neck and thrown into the sea. So what they've done with this law, we're hoping to put that milestone around their neck and throw them into the sea and continue to raise our children the American way, the way God taught us to raise our children.
Yeah, tell us about this law, Pastor, if you would. I know it seems to be one of the most extreme in the entire country right now. It was just recently signed.
Okay, I'm about ready to edit this right here. Because he's going to say a few things that I just don't want to be that explicit, but I'll explain what he's saying.
By Governor Pritzker up there, and I think outside of Illinois, a lot of people don't even realize this is going on yet. Break down some of it, if you would, and why it's so concerning to you.
Well, when we first got involved with this thing, one of my clients, I work with a law firm as an investigator. One of the clients came to us, and this man's son was introduced to this and his help.
Okay, so what he's going to say, and I'm going to fast forward this to about right there. Maybe a little bit more. What he's going to say is that basically what's happening is that they're teaching the children how to use pregnancy prevention, right? How to sodomize boys, how to sodomize other boys, how to properly use protection in order to do those things, to fornicate, to commit acts a man between a man, okay, all of those things. So that's what they're teaching, and this man came to him, and by the way, this is like little kids, all right? This is little children. That's what they're doing. They're teaching little children this. And the reason why I'm not playing what he says is because he is completely outspoken about what it is in regular terms. And I'm using Bible terms and things like that. And the reason I'm doing that is because I have children that listen. Okay? And I'm trying to be as discreet as I can be. All right?
Their idea of safe sex is abortion and using condoms. And so when we got the gist of this whole thing and we started to look at it, we said, no, this is inappropriate for the schools. And that children, the sad thing, Alex, is this. You would not allow prayer in schools, you know, and yet you would allow an abomination law like this to try to teach our kids and sway our children away from God and sway them away from the families. Now, one of the things that's horrible about this law is that, say, for instance, you know, children are so confused at different ages, 9, 10, 12 years old, they're not quite sure of their sexuality. Some of them aren't. And so, say, for instance, if one of your kids say, well, you know, I think I might have some girl tendencies, or I want to be a girl. In this law, if this child goes to the outreach counselor at the school and make a statement like that, the law allows for these counselors to be able to help your child deceive the parents, and they will start giving your kids hormone blockers, puberty shots, and all of those things to transition, and that's what the word transing means, to transition your son or your daughter to a girl or a boy.
See, so what the law that governor passed, Pritzker, in Illinois, his law that he passed was basically to, if the parents have no right, and if the kid comes and says, well, so they groom them to transgenderism. That's what they're doing. They're grooming. No one wakes up and says, I want to be a transgender that day. They're groomed. They're recruited. They're conditioned for it. Kids have funny ideas when they're little, anyway. And if you make a big deal about their ideas, sure, you could stink and change them into making them. If you see a little kid with a little boy, sometimes he grabs a doll and it's his sister's and he plays with it. That doesn't mean he's gay. That doesn't mean he wants to be a girl. That doesn't mean he's a sodomite. That doesn't mean anything. Now, you don't foster that and feed into that and program them that way. That's foolish and nonsense. But that's what they do. And now, and children don't have discernment. When I see these little 11-year-old, when I'm out preaching the gospel, some of you just don't understand the stuff that we face. Like 10-year-old girls looking at me, telling me they're lesbians. I look at those 10, 11-year-old girls, I say, you're not old enough to be anything. But a little girl. But see, somebody made that look cool to them, peer pressured them, taught them, conditioned them. Right? That's what they're doing. That's what this law does. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many little girls have come up to me and I've had that conversation with them. And they're dressed very provocatively at 11, 12 years old, holding hands and kissing another girl. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they were trained that way. That's why. They're being taught, they're being conditioned that way in the schools. They're making the environment conducive to that. They're shading them.
And so when we looked at it in a totality, it's like, this has nothing to do with education. This has everything to do to indoctrinate the children, to get them they're trying to normalize homosexuality. And so what this does is it plants a seed in the children's mind to make them think that being a homosexual is okay. And you know as well as I do, it's not okay because it's not the way that God intended for man and woman to be. And so this law is a horrible law that takes away the rights of the parents. And it gives the children a false sense of what marriage and having a relationship would be. A lot of the children now, they're starting to kick against this thing. We've been putting it out there. Governor Pritzker, he did a lot of fanfare. He had some gay laws that he passed, and he called press conferences. You know, he had the magic pen, and he struck these laws into effect. But the Comprehensive Sex Education, which was Bill SB 818, it sat on his desk because of all the noise that we were making about it. And so he signed the bill with no fanfare. He didn't call the media. He didn't call anybody. He signed it so that people wouldn't know it was signed. But we and our watchdogs made sure that when he signed it, we made it known to the world what he had done. So we are prepared to fight all the way to the Supreme Court to stop this horrible, I call it porno, in the schools for our kids. And so it was a blessing that I met you through the Illinois Family Institute. And now we've started to gather other pastors. Like I said, Reverend Sampton came in with us. There's other pastors. There's other leaders out in the community. Gator Bradley, who is a activist, and he works with a lot of the gangs across the country as well as myself. And so now a lot of parents are saying, we didn't know about it. And that was the whole reason why this bill was put through by the legislators, is because if they had done their jobs, if the legislators had looked at this bill and then contacted the parents and held a town hall meeting, they should have got input from the community first before they even passed this thing. It should have never been considered as a bill. But, you know, when you have a crooked governor, and you have men and women who do not love or respect God, then you will have this type of activity to try to steal our children and put us in a place where we no longer have parental rights. To me, this is the modern day Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know how that turned out. So I'm asking people to get involved with us so we can hold the...
So anyway, what he's basically exposing are things that are going on all over the country. Those things are going on all over the country in public school systems. They're teaching, they're controlling, they're teaching very graphic and wicked things to our children. And not our children, but the children of America, right? That's what they're doing. That's their MO. That's their mode of operation. And they've given our... Now, where does it come from, though? Well, it comes from Satan. Okay? It comes from Satan. But understand that the modern-day sexual revolution could not have taken place, and the teaching of children and pedophilia popularized and everything else like that, right? By a man named Alfred Kinsey. Alfred Kinsey and his sex research and sexology that he taught was the most wicked and vile things, right? But you're right, it's not new. Because the Bible talks about this perversion in the scriptures. The Bible talks about this being taught the temple prostitutes. The Bible talks about the mixture of religion, false religion, the groves. What were groves in the Bible? And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods. Why? What was in the groves? In the groves, they had carvings of pornography. They had naked statues. They had pornography. The Grove of Daphne. Places like that. In Corinth, in Ephesus, the Temple of Venus. All of those things were perverted things through history. In Rome, they had pedophilia that was popular. Every public servant, or most of those public servants, and the Greeks, most of those public servants were involved with pedophilia at the baths, at the community baths, the public bathing. All of that was part of that. The Bible spoke of that. In Exodus, they followed the Egyptians. Exodus 32, the shame chapter of the Bible for Israel. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. What was that? That was wickedness. That was fornication. They had the false worship, they had the false god, and then they had the rising up to play. They had the fornication. That's what they were doing. That's what it means to rise up and play when they were doing that in that context. Well, Alfred Kinsey was a man that pioneered sex research. Basically, what he taught, Alfred Kinsey watched his co-workers and others fornicate. He also watched people being raped or children being raped, and debated whether the screams and the cries of those children were enjoyment or were pain. And that makes me mad enough to want to punch a hole through his head. He followed Crowley's teachings. He got the evidence of Crowley's teachings anyway. He followed them. Crowleyan magic was fornication magic. It was magic built upon fornicating relationships, or lack thereof. The devilish people believed that when they followed pedophilia, it gave them power. Crowley taught that it gave them power, demonic power, or magical powers by doing that. And yes, they abused babies and children. Okay? Both. Right? So you have agendas that were going on at the same time that these people came out. You have Margaret Sanger and her agenda. You have all these people and their agendas that are coming out to normalize sin and wickedness, to normalize evil. I'm not going to go in depth with Alfred Kinsey on this. You can look at the connections with Alfred Kinsey. I would see Chris Pinto's documentary. Again, only adults. Children do not need to watch that. Chris does things very tastefully, but it's just not necessary to turn your children on to think about that evil. You know, turn them to that evil. It's not necessary. Judith Reisman is the founder of the modern anti-Kinsey movement. About gay marriage, she wrote to SCOTUS, "This court should not permit the institution of marriage to become the latest victim of the Kinseyan model of American society." She also wrote that mainstream sexology is an ideology built upon the sexual abuse of infants and children and the libeling of the greatest generation. See, that's what happened in America, in the world. Kinsey was a very disgusting man. His Kinsey reports and everything that he did, absolutely wicked and vile. While Hollywood was selling sex, drugs, and rock and roll, Kinsey was building the platform for them to get away with it. Well, let me read to you. A character called Dr. Kinsey appeared on the September 15th, 1953 television episode of the Jack Benny program as a bow-tied man interviewing a young woman on board a cruise ship that has left Hawaii. When Dr. Kinsey identified himself to Jack Benny, Benny steps away in embarrassment. The first pop culture references to Kinsey appeared not long after the book's publication, Martha Ray sold 500,000 copies of Ooh! Dr. Kinsey. Cole Porter's song, Too Darn Hot, from the Tony Award-winning Broadway musical Kiss Me, Kate, devoted its bridge to an analysis of the Kinsey Report and the average man's favorite sport. In 1949, Mae West, reminiscing on the days when the word sex was rarely uttered, said of Kinsey, "That guy merely makes it easy for me. Now I don't have to draw him any blueprints. We are both in the same business, except I saw it first." Think about that. I mean, he was saying who his God was, what paganism and false gods and devils he followed. The National News Magazine featured two articles on the scientist, one focusing on his research, career, and new book, the other on his background, personality, and lifestyle. In the magazine's cover portrait, flowers, birds, and bee surround Kinsey. The mirror of a Venus female symbol decorates his bow tie. Kinsey has done for SEX what Columbus did for geography. Kinsey and his research were written into a sketch about Jack Benny's fantasy about Marilyn Monroe. It's disgusting. All these people were a bunch of perverts. By the way, in 2019, Kinsey was one of the inaugural 50 American pioneers, trailblazers, and heroes inducted into the National LGBTQ Wall of Honor within the Stonewall National Monument in New York City, Stonewall Inn. More could be said about the wicked man, but it's not really that necessary. But that's who he was. And his studies changed the way that the world looked and legalities of fornication, of sexual misconduct, of rape, of pedophilia. His writings, watch Chris Pinto's documentary, and you will find out what he did and how he did it. Kinsey. You will find out how he went about doing what he did and how he got laws and things changed off the basis of... See, scientists... A lot of scientists are wicked as hell. Psychiatrists, wicked as hell. Very wicked. And that's the form they use, is education, to produce the most wicked and vile things that you can imagine. So then all of this is similar to that, you know, all the communist regime of everything that's going on now in the public schools even more. Right? Kinsey had so much to do with that. And it was all, and he got away with it. He got away with the wickedness and the vileness. He got away with it.
I know one of the things that Truth in Ed. Hey, everybody. Alex Newman here with the New American, founded to try to fix the education system and ensure that our children are not brainwashed, if you will, with the progressive worldview and turned away from their faith. And
you know, the Bible spoke. God's word talked about... Hang on. Leviticus 18:21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of those things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinances, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs. God said they're abominable. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself. Right? These are all order of society, of things that make a society function. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness besides the other in her lifetime. Thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart. Right? Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. See, all these nations did all these things. They had no rules. They had no laws. They did that which was right in their own eyes. So God put all these rules down. Incest and all those other things were forbidden. None of you shall approach to any that is near kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. All these things are an abomination unto God. God warned that these things were an abomination unto him. So these children are being trained in these abominations, of which thing God hates, right? God hates them. God is angry with these things. And they're being taught to be normalized. And Alfred Kinsey has a really good impact on that. So had a really bad impact, I should say, on that. So understand, this is the direction that the nation is going, the schools are going. Now, what should you do? Take your children out of those schools. Don't support those schools. These schools are losing a lot of money. Homeschooling has went up 300% over the last year. 300%. People are leaving these schools. They're walking away from them. Because they're figuring out that all these schools are indoctrination centers. That's all they are. They're not teaching them an education. They're not teaching them reading, writing, arithmetic, history, and geography. They're indoctrinating them into LGBTQ. They're indoctrinating them into sin and wickedness. They're not teaching them. They're not educating them. In fact, their scores and their education is terrible. They're teaching them to sin. They're teaching them to normalize and accept sin. That's what they're teaching them. Teaching them to accept wickedness and evil, of which things God hates. What's the answer? The answer is to educate your own children. Now, if you can't do that, you better know what your children... If you're a single parent and you can't do that, you better be at those school board meetings then. You better try to get them to at least a Christian school, which I don't like either that much, to be honest with you. And you have to be vigilant at a Christian school also, because they can learn a lot of bad stuff at Christian schools. There was a lot of wickedness that went on in Christian schools as well. But you better know what your children are learning. And you better find a way to educate your own children. And you better be preaching and teaching the Bible to them. You better be training your own children. Your responsibility is to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You're to teach them. You're to teach your children. You're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to nourish them and feed them the good things. You are the number one educator of your child. Don't depend on the church to see your child saved, although you should go to a good church and you should be a member there and you should serve God there and have them around other godly people. But you should be the greatest soul winner to your children. You should be reading the Bible to them daily. You should be sharing devotions with them. You should be counteracting these things. If you're in public education and you're forced to do it because of a divorce and there's a fight and you can't do it, I understand all that. You don't have the right to that. Then guess what you got to do? You got to be vigilant. You got to be sober-minded. You got to realize you have an enemy teaching your children. You have an enemy to their faith that is teaching them. And you have to be sober, to be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You better know what your children are being taught. You better counteract that, and you better teach them rightly. You better go over their work, and you better go over what they're doing. And you better teach them the Bible. You better teach them the Bible. You better teach them to walk with Christ. You better teach them that you walk with Christ. You better sit down with them and show them biblically every single one of these things. What God says about purity. What God says about holiness. What God says about the gospel. What the Bible says about being pure and waiting for marriage. What the Bible says about marriages between a man and a woman. What the Bible says about... you saving yourself for marriage and purity and marrying a God-fearing people, not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, that not to have intimate relationships with lost people, not to get involved with lost people, not to go after their ways, not to follow their ways, not to follow. You better be teaching your children, because they are teaching them sin and wickedness. They are teaching them to walk contrary. They are teaching them Antichrist. You're going to have to teach them Christ and Him crucified. You're going to have to do all you can to, you better fall in love with Christ, and you better teach them to fall in love with Christ. You better teach them to be saved by the grace of God. You better teach them the gospel, that they are dead and lost in sin, and they need Jesus Christ to save their soul, that they need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. They need to learn God's order. What God says about marriage, what God says about homosexuality, what God says about bestiality, what God says about pedophilia, what God says about that lesbian lifestyle, what God says that there are only two genders, male and female, and that's how God made man. And everything else beyond that is sin, and it's not scientific. You better teach them biblical science. You better teach them what the Bible says science is. You better train your children. And by the way, that goes for you who homeschool your children. You better teach them Bible. You better teach them how to follow Christ. You better teach them an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You better teach them against the indoctrination of this world. You better teach them specifically what the Bible says. You better teach them the truth. Look, we teach children discernment. Right? We are commanded to teach our children discernment. And I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And we are to teach our children wisdom. Don't take for granted they know anything. Teach them everything. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That's prudence, or knowledge and prudence, the discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper. To give subtlety, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay in wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. God help us to teach our children, because the devil's going to teach them anyway. He's going to try to teach them through people every wicked way. And you need to teach them to hate every false way. God help us. We need it so badly. Please, take heed. Take heed. Take heed.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die a fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. Oh, keep on the firing line.
I know you must fight, be brave
against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
God will only use the soldier he can trust.
Keep on the firing line.
If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must.
Keep on the firing line.
Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer.
Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line.
I know you must fight, be brave, brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. I know you must fight,
be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Amen. All right, if anybody wants to say hi, or you got something else to say, you know, type in a comment. If this is the first time you've been listening, type in a comment and then say that or anything else like that. If you want to say hi, I'll play another song here, give you some time and all that good stuff. I'd like to hear from you. If possible, that'd be a blessing for sure. If you want to say hi real quick. All right.
Oh,
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah, my chat is messed up over here because of all of the... Because of all the spam that pervert was putting on here, so it keeps taking my chat off so I can't see, of course, right? Yeah, of course. Anyway, all right. Well, God bless you all. And listen, pray for our ministry. Please pray, number one, tomorrow we're going out preaching. We are going to be at different events, or actually one event probably, at the Anoka Parade, the night parade, to preach the gospel there and to hand out gospel tracts. So please pray for us as we do that. We hope to get out thousands of tracts. Also preach the gospel to thousands of people. And we're working on, we tried another event, but I don't know if we're going to make it in time. So we'll probably have to just do that one event. Anyway, so the other thing is, pray for us about that. Also, if you'd like to support our ministry, you can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, click on the give, and then click on PayPal, and you can PayPal us very easily, just like that, and enter in your information of them, and then you can do that. Also, if you'd like to mail us something, you can mail it. Thank you for the coffee, Brother Peter, and thank you for the bag of dirt, Carl, that you sent me that you call coffee. Thank you for that dirt that I will give Brother Paul because he can drink that dirt in a bag that you guys call coffee. But Peter got me some other coffee. But anyway, and also others that sent gifts in and things like that. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate that as well. But if you'd like to, you can, mail us something or PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. That'd be a blessing. We'd appreciate that as well. Other than that, keep praying for us for sure. Okay. God bless you all. I'm getting out of here. I got some work to do today, lots of it. So we'll talk to you soon. God